Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.
I close my eyes, and as long as I close my eyes, it's been revealed to me. It's revealed to me since from my childhood. And I was there in this time. I was sitting like in a meditation position. I wasn't meditating per se, but I was sitting in peace, different from what I was before, because I used to cry myself to sleep. That's what I feel like most of my nights were. But this time, my girl was just in peace. So I took the opportunity to NLP her. I was like, you know what? I'm going to reprogram my brain to make sure, even though she was already beautifully healed.
Welcome to the Awaken Magazine podcast, where we feature inspiring leaders who are helping our world awaken to love. I'm your host, David Trotter, and today I want to share with you an amazing conversation with Christina Valle Park. She's a contributing author in our new anthology book, Awakened Hearts, which is available at awakenedheartsbook.com. Now, Christina is committed to planetary healing on multiple levels, not only emotionally and spiritually, but also environmentally. She's the CEO of California Recyclers, and they recycle hundreds of thousands of pounds of plastic and fiber in order to help our environment. Now, in this conversation, we dive into the story that she shares in her chapter. She talks about going to an ashram in the Bahamas and how the whole experience was transformative for her. One of the things that she shares is this metaphor of healing and how many of us are focused on the big boulders or rocks in the healing process, those kind of big traumatic experiences that we've had in life. But she talks about the importance of also being aware of the subtle fumes, those fears that we have, those unconscious beliefs that might be holding us back. And we've got to be sensitive to those as well. And I love how she processes that in her own life. She also talks about the power of stillness and how that can reveal truth and invite us into a deeper level of healing. You're going to love this conversation with Christina. Hey, if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the Awaken Magazine podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcast. Click subscribe, leave a rating or a review. That's a simple and easy way for you to help us spread the word about these inspiring interviews that we release each and every week. All right, let's dive into this conversation with Christina Valle Park. Well, Christina, it is great to have you with us today. Thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me, David, and thank you for being a great promoter of awakening in the planet. I really enjoy this. So thank you very much.
Well, I want to hear a bit more about your own story of awakening to consciousness, mindfulness, spirituality. I've had a chance to read your chapter in Awakened Hearts, and I'm excited for other people to read about your experience as you share it there. But take us back to your childhood. Did you grow up with some sort of faith or spirituality that was a part of your life, or did that unfold later?
Yes. My mom raised us with... She obligated us to go to mass. She forced a God in us that was, you were to have fear. And my dad was a justified non-believer. And I say that because his parents were orphans, and it was a lot of sadness and a lot of injustice for him growing up. So definitely for him to think that there was no God, I can only say that, you know, that he must have been right thinking that. But my mom was a traditional Catholic that most people in South America are like, you know, you have to fear God and you have to go and see God, and God is something else. And also, by the way, that child out there that is blonde and white, that child is the son of God. But so, you know, you are not the son of God. As a child, you don't you don't even know the impact that that's have. Mm-hmm. And it has been shown to me through what we're going to discuss a little bit later, right? Through revelations or journeys, it was shown to me the impact that it's have to have been disconnected from your real nature, which is to be part of God. So I was raised as a traditional Catholic, just going to church, very bored, just forced. Though when I was around 15, we moved to a different city and we enrolled. They put us in a like very prestigious Catholic church, a school, and definitely we found God in there. So it was really fun to be there with my sister. In a little point of our lives, we actually wanted to be nuns, but it was a really, really short period that you're like, you know, so fervent for the love of God that you wanted to be nuns. But now, you say also a little bit of my path to awakening. Well, I want to say that awakenings have so many levels, right? That I don't even know in what level I am right now. And some other people that have access to the mysteries, you know, connections, divine connections, and also dimensions. I don't know, you know, how to classify the levels, but I'm going to say that from the moment that you realize that everything is one as a concept, from the moment that you then really understand and start living it, so there is different transitions, different colors of awakening. Also, from the moment that you love everything, you love your neighbor, like Jesus said, and you practice that, and even you love the calculator, because that was shown to me, right? Also, and the moment that I wanted to go there is when you see the fabric of God, when you literally see the fabric of God, that everything is God, even the calculator is God, that you hating the calculator is hating God. So that's another level of awakening that I'm walking right now. So there has been so many layers of awakening. And also starting with, I would say, David, is personal responsibility. That's when awakening starts, and it's in chakra number 3. Not everybody will say it like that. Tony Robbins was a big catalyst for me to my awakening process, because in the moment they say I'm my own creator, I'm the creator of my life, and on top of that, I enroll everybody in my life that is playing a role, that is, you know, like awakening and steroids. So somewhere in there is my path. I'm super happy where I am today, right? I'm taking responsibility for everything that I have. I use the love that I have inside, which is not my love, it's the love of God, just to shower people, to give light to people, and try to live my life like, you know, we are all one. We cannot really can't do it right now, because you have your own credit cards, you have your own mortgage, you have your own business and separation. So you're in a point, try your best to live as one, though, you know, there are limitants in this planet to really, truly live as one, unless you want to go into a monastery.
Mm-hmm. At what point did you come to that realization of the oneness of everything here among us? At what point in life was there a catalyst, or how did you come to that mm-hmm. conclusion?
Yeah. So like I said, there is a concept, and then later is a real understanding and a difference of living. Mm-hmm. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this divine, right? That we are all one first, and in a point we're all like, not bored being inside God, but we're like, you know, we are all one. We're all one, and we're the everything. Everything we want, we can have it right now. But we said, hey, can I go and experience it from the outside? Can I see if it's something different? And then we go to having our own lives, and we ask, hey, God, can I go? Can I go? Actually, truly, I mean, that happened to me a year ago, to see in a journey that you are being born and say, hey, God, can I go? Can I go and see you from the inside? And you actually said, I will never forget that you exist, God. I will see you and everything. And there you come. You have your own zip code, right? Your own body. That's your own container, different from your mom, from everybody. And you forgot that everything was God, even though you do recognize, as soon as you're born, the first God that you see is your parents. Those are God. So you come here and you see them, but they later forget with the difference. So it's part of life, right? Part of growing. But when in life, I would say every human being has a code written in their heart that is that all it is? It's a question. Every human being comes with a question. In a point of their life, they'll have to answer that question. Is that all it is? And I had to answer that question several times in my life. And some other people, and I tell you how, right? It's going to be simple, but so many other people, they will never answer the question because they will go into alcohol, they will go into overworking, they will go into extreme sports, they will go into extreme lavish lives or different wives. But if you just answer the question when it comes to you, is that all it is? It came to me when I was 28 for the first time. It was like married for 2 years, time to have a child, right? It's like time to have a child somehow. My husband didn't pressure me, but I was like, is that all it is? I don't want to be trapped with a child. That was me. I'm sorry for the people that do have beautiful kids. And I don't say don't have it. It just was me. I feel like there is something more for my life that I had to do before I'm trapped with this child, that we ended up not having it. And we still love each other and love our nieces and my sister that did have a child. So at that point, at 28, I went to study acting. Even though I had my own business with my husband, a plastic recycling company, I went to study acting to answer this question because I knew that I had fears that I had to address. And one of the fears was speaking in a camera. Well, you know, now let alone speaking in English in a camera, but I put myself through that. And it was an incredible teacher that she had lights through her eyes. So talking to her, I was like, hey, what do you recommend for, you know, the pain that human being carries, the fear of being here in acting class and et cetera. And she said Tony Robbins. I didn't fully hear that day, but somehow the next day I was watching a TV show. I guess I don't watch TV anymore, but it was, I think, a morning show. And Tony was being interviewed. And like Tony described himself, this guy with the big teeth was there. And so I told my teacher, hey, I think it was the guy that you told me about it. And it was presenting a book. And so I went into this self-development path, into going to seminars, buying books, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So is that all it is? It's a question that comes frequent, and not just to me. I talk to so many people, coworkers, peers, and they have to answer the question. And some of them, like I said, going into extreme sports or alcoholism, gratefully went into something that took me into self-development. And a little bit later, is that all it is was even more of like, it is God. The only answer is it's finding God because it was the only reason why we were born in the first place. So after having Tony Robbins, it was more in my life, like good success in our lives. My husband and I, we doubled the business several times. Right now, like we're a very big recycling company here in the Inland Empire. But then it's like, it's really, is that all it is? It is something more. And David, the only answer to me, it is God. I'm not a preacher, not trying to send people to church or send it to my, a spirituality direction, a specific direction, but the only answer is God. And so gratefully that question took me there.
Beautiful. So in your chapter in Awakened Hearts, you share about this transformative trip that you and your husband took to the Bahamas. So what motivated you to take this trip to visit an ashram?
Yes. So my husband and I are traveling a lot somehow for not sure how many reasons, but I was like, I just want to be home. That's the only thing I wanted to be home because I have built my like sanctuary here. I know when to meditate. I do meditations with the team members. I want to live a peaceful life. I want to be in the quietness. I want to be watching a podcast, but the only thing I wanted to be is I wanted to be home. So I didn't want to go to a trip. That was like for sure. Though at work, we do meditations. We do meditations on Mondays at 8:30, on Tuesdays at 7, I think, another group, and several other groups that do meditation. Most of them, I guide the meditations. So because of my—
And real quick, yes. Christina, are you saying that you lead meditations for your staff members at your recycling company?
Yes.
And they have the opportunity to participate or not? Are these all the staff members or just the people who work in the office, or how does this work?
Yeah. So they are not forced for sure, but everybody goes and everybody's getting paid to do it. So it's part of the activities of the Monday morning staff meeting. We start one meeting at 7:30 with only the managers, and then we go into 8:30 with the team members from the office, and then all of us do a meditation that I guide. And then we go and stretch, you know, and say, hey, good Monday. These are the highlights for the week. How was your week? And then we even jump. We like go like, oh, you know, 10 feet tall, Tony Robbins, and then go to work. Yes, we do meditations, and I guide it like a hybrid meditation like Tony Robbins teaches, which is like a fire breath meditation. Fire breath, right? breath fire meditation. But I made a mind, and now I know how to guide it because I know who they are, who is in the room, what they need. So when they ask them to go into gratitude, I know what they are doing in their lives. So I connect with their wives, I connect with their children, and bring them to their hearts. Mm-hmm. And this third part of the meditation, going to the vision, you know, think about something you want to happen in the future and the way you want to feel in the future, whether a year from today, a week from today, or a month from today. And on that day, when I started flirting with Bahamas, they show me a still water, like water that I never described before, because every time I ask them to close their eyes, I say, let's go to like Arrowhead. It's just around the corner here. Or we go to Santa Monica Beach. I kind of feel that we are there. Say, you know, you're with your family walking the beach, and this is how you feel. You feel empowered or confident or whatever way. But this time was like the beach. I was like, okay, whatever trip you're going to take, Bahamas. And so I was like, okay, Bahamas, cool. Go to my PC work. It was an email coming from Bahamas and like something Indian, right? I didn't fully read because the word ashram was not familiar to me at the time. Something Indian. I was like, oh, must be these people from the Himalayas that still want me to go. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to disregard. I don't want to travel. The following week or between, you know, this following meditation again. And I was like, well, maybe you're in New Zealand, you know, take a trip to Bahamas again. This water, I never be in Bahamas. And it was like 3-4 times. So I take it as a whisper in my ear. Hey, you got to go to Bahamas. I see the email again. I'm like, okay, let me see who are these people. And then I found Matt and Joy Khan. And Matt and Joy Khan had a lot of content online and YouTube. So I went into like a binge watch them, connected with them. And I told my husband, hey, husband, I feel like we're going to have to go to Bahamas. And he's like, you know, he said, just let me do whatever I want to do. He just go alone. And then I said, you know, and actually he was in Florida at the time. I'm in California right now. He was remodeling a house that we have over there. I'm going to have to take a trip to Sedona just to go and watch the guy to make sure that my trip to Bahamas is a must. So I went with my niece to Sedona, watched him in a seminar. He had a 2-3 day seminar. It was incredible. Came back and said, this is where we're going, right? Bought the tickets. And on top of that, my sister is getting married just these days, but was a fiance since last year. And I was like, hey, girl, this is your wedding gift. So we're all going to Bahamas to do blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's how we ended up into the Shivananda Ashram in Bahamas. It was incredible.
Amazing. How many days was it? What did you experience? Tell us about it.
Yes. So after, you know, I saw Maya and Joy Kanda, and then I researched a calendar and I see Krishna Das. Now I know Krishna Das. And somehow they go in the calendar like very like a day from each other, around my husband's birthday, around February 14, Valentine's Day. So perfect package. So when I go there, because my life, it is busy, even with meditation is busy, or work is busy, I go day to day. So I didn't even think about Atlantis, David. But if you think Bahamas is Atlantis, and if we believe in the Atlantis civilization, there is a lot of energy in Atlantis. So when I arrive there, we get into the tour into the ashram, and they say the monk, one of the big monks, the big Swami said, under this rock is a temple of Atlantis. And I'm like, wow, I've been guided here. I mean, I'm not going to say I felt the energy and like I'm levitating with energy, but it was a beautiful energy. The ashram is so beautiful. In the middle of all the hotels, it's this secluded, in an island, in the middle of all these fancy hotels. It's a secluded ashram in the middle of vegetation, little casitas in there. So you go, you have a 360 view for the whole ocean, per se. You see the ships cruising around. It's just incredible. And on top of that, you have meditation, have food served for you, and have Krishna Das because he was scheduled for the day. So we go into the chanting, open heart, intending to become even a better person. And yeah, it delivers the Krishna Das, your intention, and the Atlantis energies definitely deliver. And this is what I narrate in the book, and I share, some a little more healing that happened for me.
Yeah. You talk about what you called baby journeys without the use of plant medicine. So how would you describe a baby journey? What were these experiences like for you?
Yeah, so that was a term that just came to me. I was like, sister, I had a baby journey last night, because it's just, I know what it is. It's an spontaneous journey, right? And it's not that spontaneous when you have the intention of healing and becoming better. And also you sit in front of Krishna Das and his chanting and his powerful songs, and you go inside and close your eyes. So I just did that. I closed my eyes. I was like, I want you to show me whatever Krishna Das will say. I was like there, like, you know, I see colors. I'm fully there. Then we walked to our hotel with my husband near to the ocean with a silver moon in there. I was like, God, what else can I ask? Nothing. I have it all. So we go to the hotel because the ashram was full. So we had to sleep in the hotel and then just commute through the ocean and the sand to the ashram every day to take the classes. And when he's ready to sleep, I close my eyes. And as long as I close my eyes, it's been revealed to me. It's revealed to me since from my childhood, just like it happened in journeys, right? But journeys are assisted by plants, ceremony a little longer. It was just boom. It's when I'm ready. And I said, thank you guys for showing me this. And I was there. In this time, I was sitting like in a meditation position. I wasn't meditating per se, but I was sitting in peace, different from what I was before, because I used to cry myself to sleep. That's what I feel like most of my nights were. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, mine sometimes generalize. Always happened, something happened with my dad, a misunderstanding. He didn't love me much, more than I wanted. I wanted more attention from him. And maybe my sister did something. I was too tender and I would be just crying there, you know, in an adjusting moment. But this time my girl was just in peace. So I took the opportunity to NLP her. I was like, you know what? I'm going to reprogram my brain to make sure, even though she was already beautifully healed, in my opinion. But girl, I said, you're here to dream. You're going to dream for yourself, dream for others. And you are a dreamer and a creator. You exist in the mind of God, and that's your job. You don't have other jobs. So from now on, you're just going to dream yourself to sleep.
I just want to clarify this. So you're in a meditative state and you're seeing you're being reminded of yourself as a little girl, crying yourself to sleep. And then you basically do some NLP work on her, little inner child healing action.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So what did you feel then in that process? And what did you feel like the result was?
So Bashar says that when you heal today, because everything is linear in this life, your child was healed already. So that powerful moment with Krishna Das belonged to a healed girl. And what they showed me was the healed girl. So I didn't have like bliss in feelings per se, but that's what I think it happened. So I found myself being this healed girl, and I just took advantage of my adult me to approach her and tell her who she was. Wow. However, she already knew who she was. I was just like making sure to NLP and reprogram. Hey, you're a dreamer. Sure. You're a builder. You're building. That's your job. You don't have other job in this planet. So was that the question? Maybe I went somewhere else. But
No, that was absolutely beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, I was in a meditative state. My husband was sleeping and I was just by myself enjoying, I don't know how many hours, 2, 3, because it came like, finished that very quick. I went to another one, and another one. I described the book. It was like so blessed. They were just showing me, and this one. Everyone was an opportunity to reframe and say, you know, you didn't feel that way, or that was a misunderstanding. No, you know, you're loved. I was plenty of love by my dad. I just wanted more love. You know, kids just want that. They are just these selfish little kids, right? That you just want all the love. Like, give me all the love, all the attention. I want to be the favorite. I want to be the center of attention. So I'm sorry, kids, we were like that. We are like that. And when we don't receive that, something breaks in our hearts. So I had the opportunity to go back and say, no, baby, you were loved. Oh, and by the way, your mom loves you a lot. She has more kids. She just went to see the other kid that is your sister that you also love a lot. So it was just so beautiful to reconstruct all my memories with this healthy child that now it is, because it belongs to this present human that I am, as Bashar said, right? Mm. The past already changed, because the present cannot match an unhealed, sad childhood.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you talk about in the book is that stillness mm-hmm. plays a pivotal role in uncovering what you called fumes. And you originally talked about, you know, we're uncovering kind of the boulders of our life, like the big traumas, and then maybe the sand. And then you said, but there are also fumes that are less obvious. What are those fumes? How do we discover those fumes in our life? What happens if we don't discover those fumes?
Oh, yes. So someone said it, and I'm not sure who said it, right? In trauma, there is the rocks and the pebbles, and I wish I can give them credit because I'm sure I learned it from somebody, and so many people saying that, right? When you are healing yourself and you're finding the traumas, the big things that affected you more in your life, that misunderstandings that are ruling your life that sometimes you don't even know. So first are the rocks, then you take out the rocks and you're like, oh, that's true, right? I didn't feel heard as a little girl. Oh, I feel unsafe because being a little girl in Ecuador mean that if you're beautiful, you are going to be put as a object. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be that. So I was very confused because I wanted to be beautiful. I didn't want to be beautiful. So I went through all those rocks at the beginning. And I very well can come more later. But I feel like I'm unpacked that. And when you unpack that, then you can see the next level of
the pebbles.
I would say the pebbles, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, that's right. My sister, you know what? My sister also, it's amazing, right? Why did we thought that because someone did something wrong at home, they are imperfect. And that's how we treated each other for a little bit in my household. My grandma was so imperfect, and my mom, the next imperfect person. And for sure, my sisters, because they were disciplined and they were not doing what I wanted to do, they were imperfect. So in a point, you're living with these imperfect people. And guess who is not perfect at the end of the day? You. I am not perfect, because if they are not perfect, I'm not perfect. So I went through all of that. I've been going through all of that. And then it feels that it's the sand. And then it feels that it's something more if you really pay attention, but it's not for everybody. I mean, you really have to be seeking and be like hunting like a detective and paying attention of what is it that it makes you uncomfortable. So my husband and I finally checked into the ashram because Krishna Das event concluded. So most people flew away. They went back to their countries or cities. And then we got a room. So we're in a room in the ashram now ready. I think we lost connection, but I'm waiting for you. Okay, we're back. So we were in the ashram ready to watch Matt Kahn and his wife and say, hey, you know, we have ate a lot today or whatever. Why don't we just don't eat? We are on a hungry, let's not eat. So we're just in bed waiting for the meditation at 8 p.m. So it's 6 p.m. We're just waiting to not eat us, but ready to always be connected and healed. And I say, baby, I have something here. What is it? I don't know. You know what, baby? I'm afraid to not eat. I'm afraid that I would die. I think at the end of the day, that's the trauma. If this doesn't happen, you'll die. And I don't know why, baby, because I've never been hungry. I have not been like super rich, but my house always had food. And so have you ever feel that way? And she said, yes, because yes, I have been hungry. He said, I mean, he was real hungry. But
as a
child. And then it came to like, oh, that's right. When I was growing up, I was very skinny. I wish I was that skinny today. I was very skinny, but my parents terrorized me with, hey, there are children in Ethiopia, in Africa, they are not eating. And so all of those thoughts, plus my parents, my father, he actually was very, very, very poor, like extreme poverty, no shoes poverty. Like they don't have cement in their house. They didn't have cement in their house. It was dirt, that poor, that their feet were on the ground. And so all those stories also were in my body. And they're living in me and existing in me and maybe wanting to eat more than I should, but they only come in a stillness. But because God is so great and so good, I said, every time I ask, I will be given. So we were asking this part. I'm like, oh my God, it just came in this, per se, stillness. And then the next day, Matt and Joy address about stillness. I was like, wow, God, I mean, you just give it to me all. And they say, this is what they said. We all adults, we all humans avoid stillness and we get busy on our phones and scrolling and getting busy in the next scene and the next scene and also alcohol, why not, right? And why is that? Because when we were children, was a stillness in the moment, what you were still in the moment that an adult overpowered you, whether for physical abuse or emotional abuse or some kind of misunderstanding, you just froze in the moment. So when we are adults and we are still, this uncomfortableness comes to the surface and we don't want to go to that. And so only in the stillness you can see this little voice, because it's even a whisper. It's like, what is really it that I'm reacting? You are like reacting here, like with some kind of anxiety or whatever. But only your willingness to find it, it will let you find it, because it was like such a whisper, like, oh, is that. And Matt and Joy address is so beautiful, and that's why I'm able to put it together for you, David. Mm-hmm.
And those are the fumes that you're like, yes, smelling like, something's not right here.
Something is not right. And also right in the book, when we were eating, they have smoothies in the ashram. They sell smoothies only from 11 to 12 p.m. And they're like, everybody talks about the smoothies. The monks talk about smoothies. They joke about smoothies. And so it's the day before our last day, basically. I was like, baby, let's buy smoothies for the people in the ashram. They are volunteers. They are doing karma yoga. They are just putting their time so they can get something out of it. Let's buy a lot of tickets and give it around, because the food is provided. Yes, you pay for the ashram, but let's have this gesture. And it was around, I think, 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. I said, let's go to give them away. And something came again, like a film was like, like something, like a small whisper, David, so small. It was not like, boom, you know, in your face. You had to be there ready to hear and ready also to grow and accept it. And it's like, I'm uncomfortable to go and give gifts, right? You know, who's uncomfortable to go and where? Like, what am I feeling? And I went and give them away. And I was so welcome. But when I come back, it's like, yes. When I was a child, I was so ready to give you a gift, right? Let me make this little sock and make you a gift, right? Maybe have you this idea and give it to you as a gift. Let me present it to you. And what happened with adults? They were busy. They didn't have time for you in that moment. And I interpreted, and kids interpreted, that it's not good enough what you're giving. Whatever you're creating, you want to give. And so I was like, I got you, girl. I got you, feel, because it was so imperceptible. It was so like no density, that if I was not paying attention, it would have not realize, I think, what the communication got. But, you know, that's how I call it a fume. So because someone else talk about the rocks and the pebbles and even the sand, it's like it has to be something even smaller that people don't see it if you're not ready. And so I found it, and they were. And they helped me, because they are never again. And I know my limitations now. I'm like, oh, I struggle with this. I'm going to do it in spite of, or on top of that, it's already dissolved. So now it's no longer part of me. I'm even more open and more generous to continue giving to people that I love. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, that's so powerful. You mentioned earlier the use of plant medicine to take these journeys, which really helps us experience that stillness. Right?
Yes, like yes.
Required stillness. Mm-hmm. If you surrender to it. How has plant medicine played a role in your own path of healing?
Well, I would say that Tony Robbins and Dr. Joe Dispenza only can take you so far. And even though they're incredible and totally recommended, go there first. They can only take you so far, right? Tony Robbins makes champions, Vanessa Williams, McGregor, you know, he reroutes, reprogrammed your mind, and he helped us. He helped us doubling the business several times, loving our people, becoming better at everything, better at your body, at your relationship. Like, he prevents divorces, like, for sure. Maybe I'm there also. Like, you know, we're having a rough time with my husband. Boom, reframe that. Very successful. And I would say Dr. Joe also takes you to the mystic. He makes you taste that. You have to be rewiring your connections while you're in Dr. Joe Dispenza. I experienced on my first event, like an incredible, maybe a 40-minute lucid dream. I saw Egypt, I traveled. I don't know what else I saw, but it was a huge screen and I was seeing it. And it was so vivid. Nothing can wake me up. And another time I saw the Phoenix raising up. And it was, to me, it was, oh, it's Metatron here. So, but I would say they will only take you so far, because they cannot work in your cellular memory. They cannot work in your like seven bodies that people talk about it. They cannot work in your ancestors. And so plant medicine offers you that. Plant medicine like offers you, if you surrender, like you said, what I came to me, because I was like, how can I put this together? Offer you a life review without dying. Because if you do believe in reincarnation, right? If you believe in eternal life, and you'll never die, you only take another body and you stop for a little bit with your counselors, your soul counselors, and you have a life review. This is what you did great. This is what you did not. Go back, girl. Yeah, you still had more forgiveness to do. Plant medicine gives you that. You don't have to die to get your life review, right? You put your intention in and you go into your stillness and boom, it shows you exactly what you need to see. This is where you're not doing right. And this is where you are judging them, thinking that them is them, but really it's one, it's you. This is where your sister took your pain, because you're actually outsourced your pain to your sister. So everything wrong that you see in your sister, guess what? She was so generous to take it for you, because for you, the load would have been so hot, so heavy. And so plant medicine allows you to all of that. And I don't know if it happened to you, but when you finish your first plant medicine journey, you feel like going and vomit on people. Like you're like, you must do this. You gotta do this. And my husband and I took it. Oh yeah, we call it vomiting. Our friends say you're vomiting. You're still vomiting, right? And Danny Morale, he says he left ayahuasca and wanted to rent a helicopter and dump ayahuasca in people's mouths, because, you know, it's that healing. It's that healing that you know that the world, the entire world has to do it. And you go around because it's that good. So plant medicine, I will say everything I am today, everything how much I love myself and I admire myself and I'm happy to be me and I'm excited what's coming, it is because of plant medicine. Because
wow.
Through plant medicine, it's not only the healing of the trauma, but it's also knowing God. To me, I met God. I literally met God. I knew when the beings were coming, and I knew when God was God, and I knew when was the Christ consciousness. And I knew, like I said a little earlier, the fabric of God. He showed me even the calculator, right? When you hate the calculator, fuck the calculator, blah, that's God. Because if everything is God, even the calculator, and for sure your neighbor is God. So plant medicine... Wow, people talk about it, even science, that 80% of our DNA is a chunk DNA. So plant medicine gives you access to that unused DNA that we've been trained not to use it. So we're waking up that 80% of the DNA, I would say, through plant medicine, rewiring nervous system, rewiring neural connections, and even different entangles with energy that we cannot see without plant medicine.
Mm-hmm. Is this something that you and your husband help others experience as well, or is it something you just do for yourself?
Mm. We do it with friends and family. I think we do it safely and legally with friends and family. We don't do it with other people, except people that were called, that, you know, a name has been dropped in my ear. It's like, this person gotta come. But it's beyond that. Our plant medicine ceremonies are for our soul family. We are soul family. I confirmed that with Mary. I was telling you that I have reading with Mary. Not just with Mary, with other people, that Mary Buckingham. I've been reading. They have read me. And yes, the people that we're doing plant medicine with were here from so-and-so plane, part of a social complex. And we're just making sure that each of us that came to help planet Earth wakes up. Because the risks, as you might know, of the wanderers, right, that come back to planet Earth to try to help, is that you might get stuck in a karmic cycle again. Like, oh my God, you came into this very difficult situation because you wanted to overcome, you wanted to expand your heart and etc. But you got stuck in there, and then you have to do several more lifetimes of the same. So the people that we are doing, we are in super on the same page. Waking up in that way, They're my soul family. They are like definitely my soul family. And also what my husband does, because of through this, right? Through all of this, through breath work, through Tony Robbins, through Dr. Joe Dispenza, plant medicine, sound baths. It's that one of those sound baths, my husband started experiencing these intuitive gifts and empathics. So my husband right now is just super on point. Start talking to you, ask you permission to tap in. I said, remember to ask permission because you cannot just be, you know, a spy, right? Taking information and boom, it finds the pain that you have. And with that, we have helped, I would say, healing 4 of 4 cancers that had come to us, friends, family. And the last one was a neighbor not too long ago. So we also own a harmonic egg, David. I know that Gail has been in your podcast. Mm-hmm. We are just owners of an egg. And we so far haven't even charged. We haven't opened a center. One is in my garage. The other one is in my other house in Florida. But we have been so lucky to be so helpful to people that need it. And so this neighbor had a cancer in his stomach, and his wife arranged for us to take him to a session. But, and the wife is also an energetic healer. But you know, because nobody is a physician in his own village, I think Jesus said that. So the wife could not really help the husband, but my husband went and talked to him. And after an hour of talking, I'm going to give you kind of the secret of the healing for the one that needs a healing. After an hour of talking, he goes into the session of the egg, put it in the egg, come back. So we're more relaxed and more connected to my husband, more open to tell him and show him and reveal him what is happening to him. So my husband say, disappointment. You have disappointment in your stomach. I can feel it in here. And the wife said, oh yeah, he's the king of disappointment. He's disappointed about the daughter and about the son and about business, and about this and about that. So disappointment. And other many lower emotions can take you to cancer. But I wanted to say, and I tell people that we connect with and we help a little bit, right? We're not in this business, but we have helped a little bit and whatever we can. It's like, just be open, be willing to try and trust. If you are open, willing to try and trust, the egg, the harmonic egg, the session, the sound bath, the breath work, the plant medicine, just these three things, the energy from the person, from the shaman, I would say, will be transferred to you. The belief in the healing, this will happen. And this is how I go. Like, this will happen. This is done. You're already healed. And if you are just open, willing to try it, and trust, you'll be healed. And it's like again and again and again and again has in our eyes. This has happened with our friends and family and significant others that are in that network. And they're healed. And they're like, so this gentleman went to the Mayo Clinic a week later of the egg, of the conversation with my husband. That he opened up, this gentleman decided to open up and release and look into that. Yeah, you're right. It's my disappointment. I'm disappointed, right? I don't want to live life like that. And now his wife texted us and said he went to the Mayo Clinic, you know, big clinic about cancer, like big, you know, big alternative, you know, they have it all. You have no cancer. What are we talking about? And he was battling, I think, for 3 years with cancer. He had to do, he was getting ready for a stomach surgery, for a surgery in the stomach. Zero cancer. When you're willing to look at it in yourself, take responsibility, manage your own emotions, and forgive, you're healed. So it's easy. I'm sure, you know, you have seen the same, you have your incredible studio where you guys do breath work and a lot of other things. You have seen this over and over, I'm sure. When people are willing to take responsibility, the healing happens.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. Christina, I'm curious about this integration of mindfulness, consciousness, spirituality, and that you're a very successful business owner. A lot of people in our world who feel a calling to this type of life of helping others experience transformation and healing feel the like, I want to get out of my day job. Like, I want to get out of this so I can just focus on this. How do you integrate or manage or see those two things working together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I wanted to get out of the job. It's just a step, a step that you're going to have to navigate to realize that you can love with intensity wherever you are. Because I went through that also. My mind took me through that. Hey, you don't want to be here. You just want to be connecting to people and helping people. You don't want to be here. But after you go through that, and you also dedicate your nights and your weekends to help, and also your waking hours at work to also serve and love and see how can I give you more? How can we grow together and not just me, but give you back the loyalty that you're putting into my company, to my collaborators. And then I realized, it's like, I love being here. I just love being here at 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. I love so much to being there sitting in that chair than being here about to meditate or at night or in the morning or to take a flight to go to a class. So I think we had to work it with the mind. The mind wanna always make, you know, give you a picture of extremes. And a lot of other people that work with us, that are, we love them so much, they have gone through the same thing. And I do know that because they're working with me, and I say, I know you what you're thinking, you only wanna do that. But first we have to also create self-mastery wherever we are, and self-mastery with opportunity we have, because a lot of them are leaders. Create that self-mastery and then take it somewhere else. I'm okay with that because I've been going through the same thing. But I would say managing the mind and then total acceptance that wherever you are, you can fully love, fully be there. There is no place to be, David. There is no place to be. And one of the journeys, it was shown to me. It was so incredible. And I was just like, almost like sarcastically laughing at the situation. Like, there's no place to be. But that's why human beings need to forget that knowing that it's no place to be, because then we'll not be doing our lives. We'll not be in our jobs. We'll not be going to cooking, right? And taking our kids to school. Because I was just there with my knees. I was like, there's no place to be. I have it all. I'm not gonna go nowhere. But again, as a human, you have to forget to keep remembering and going to, you know, grind and what you're here for, and say, okay, I took on a body, so let me go and work and let me go and be the best I can, and let me go and love God and honor God every moment of my waking day. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Beautiful. Christina, if people want to connect with you, follow you, and join you kind of on this journey of life, what's the best place for them to reach out?
Yeah, for now, it's just my Instagram, and I don't have an offering. You can see my life, my evolution, my mistakes, my also, like I say, evolution in thinking sometimes. Oh, and thinking, why I say that? Because God and Jesus also have been radioactive for me for a little bit, but now I'm back to, you know, knowing them, who they really are. So you can maybe see all of that in my Instagram. And I think it's C Valley Park. I think that's what my Instagram is.
That's right. CVIA Park is your Instagram. And so we'll put that, of course, in the show notes, encourage people to follow you and connect with you there. So, Christina, thank you for sharing your story in the Awakened Hearts book. It was beautiful. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and story with us today. It's wonderful to connect with you as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, David. Thank you. You have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Awaken Magazine podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and our other conversations, would you mind taking a moment to leave a 5-star review and maybe even a comment on Spotify or Apple Podcasts? That's one of the ways that you can give back to the show and help us reach more people. And of course, feel free to share the episode with a friend. And if you're not already on our email list, we send out an inspiring email every Monday morning full of articles and interviews. Just head on over to awakenedmagazine.com. and click subscribe and join for free. Our hope is that all the resources we share will help our world continue awakening to love. Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.